Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Tuesday, January 10th. Today, we're talking to Colorado Sun business reporter Tamara Chung about the egg crisis that continues in Colorado, as well as the economic forecast for 2023. Before we begin, we're excited to present the next food revolution, Growing Greens in the Air, with environment reporter Michael Booth. Join the virtual event on February 9th to hear how one local company is using a storage container to grow crops, how CU Boulder is growing greens in a sunroom, and much more. Register for the free event at coloradosun.com/events. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. A world-famous showman who presented a caricatured vision of the American West to global audiences died in Denver on this date in 1917. Buffalo Bill Cody's life reflected the saying that the truth should never interfere with a good story. Born in Iowa in 1946, Cody first came to Colorado Territory in 1861 as a teamster on the road to Denver. His life led him across the West, although often not in such dramatic fashion as contemporary sources suggest. Cody made an early career and earned the nickname Buffalo Bill in the late 1860s when he hunted bison in western Kansas. In 1868, he signed on as a civilian scout with the U.S. Army to track American Indians. Cody often patrolled from Fort Lyon on the Arkansas River and joined Pawnee allies to pursue Cheyenne dog soldiers in the summer of 1869. A battle at Summit Springs in northeastern Colorado that July proved to be the last major conflict between soldiers and native cultures in eastern Colorado. Cody later reenacted a fanciful version of the fight in his Wild West extravaganza. Buffalo Bill's Wild West debuted in 1883. Cody's show performed in Colorado numerous times, but by the 1910s, he faced declining interest in ticket sales. A circus owned by the Denver Post bought the Wild West, and Cody's career ended in subservience. Nonetheless, his death in 1917 led to a frenzy of mourning. Before we continue, a quick message. Join the Colorado Sun for its 2023 legislative session preview. On January 11th, join politics reporter and editor Jesse Paul as he speaks with lawmakers about the upcoming session. The event is free and virtual. Sign up today at coloradosun.com/events. Now our feature story.
Welcome to the Colorado Sun podcast, everyone, and thanks for listening today. I'm David Krause, one of the team editors here at the Colorado Sun, and I am happy to be here with Sun business reporter Tamara Chung. Hey there, Tamara.
Hey, Dave.
How's your day going so far?
So far, so good. Excited about another week, of course.
Yep. Everybody's back to work. Probably people are noticing, and today we're going to talk about the egg crisis in the state as the avian flu continues to hurt production in Colorado. It has really devastated the industry, and Tamara and some other Colorado Sun reporters have been covering it for a few months now. Tamara, I think the big thing is, and you can maybe update us on some of the numbers, but how are farmers going to recover from this?
Oh, it's pretty tough. So what strikes me is how many chickens, these egg-laying chickens, there were in Colorado before avian flu struck in the spring last year. The state had 6 million egg-laying chickens. So throughout the year, because of euthanizations due to avian flu, 6.5 million chickens were killed. So now we're down to, well, basically an egg shortage.
Right, almost back to zero. So what are they looking for to get these flocks back up in the production area of egg farmers?
Yeah, so the other thing that's happening is you probably won't see a lot of large eggs. But in order for the chicken population to get back, and you know, it's slowly getting there, of course. You know, these egg farmers, I mean, the chicken farmers have to buy pullets, which are the baby chicks, you know, female hens, and get them young and grow them to large egg-laying sized chickens. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of competition for these pullets now. So that's kind of also hindering the full production of eggs. And it's hard to find these pullets. And once you do get them, it takes about 10 weeks for them to get to full size.
On top of that, then, trying to get a large number of chickens back to producing in a few months. It's not just the flu. What else is impacting the egg industry?
Well, you know, anyone who lived through 2022 knows that inflation was the highest it's been since the 80s. And that had to do with labor costs, supply chain issues, transportation costs, gasoline, of course, was really high last year. So a lot of those, in fact, impacted the chicken farmers as well, if you can imagine. I mean, I was speaking to one co-op that has farms in Colorado, like in the Denver area, but also in Kansas. And that was Chris Schrammick with High Plains Eggs. And he mentioned like feed, you know, the cost of food for chickens, it has gone up, you know, 75% in the past, you know, since the pandemic. So, you know, something they were buying feed like for $400 a ton, and now it's $750 a ton. So, you know, stuff like that, labor costs continue to go up. You know, even the minimum wage is, it went up this year, it went up last year in Colorado. And his farms, they're smaller, they're organic. So they haven't had the avian flu issue, but they've been expanding. So it's been difficult for them to get buy enough pullets so they can raise these chickens to full size eggs.
So do you see, when you're talking to these farmers and the egg industry experts, do they see a time where it might start turning once we get flock production up? What does that look like, the price of eggs coming down in the next year or months, or what are you hearing?
Well, I mean, that's probably the goal here, you know, because, you know, nobody wants egg prices to go up even higher. And they've been going up all year. Of course, I have a chart in the recent story that ran on Monday. Eggs like a year ago were about $1.79 for a dozen eggs. And I believe this is wholesale prices. And as of November, they were $3.59. So, and if you try to go to the store today, you may not find any. You know, I was shopping around over the weekend, and every single place we went to had no eggs, even though there were limits on eggs. So, I mean, you might have to find smaller stores that are off the beaten track for a lot of consumers. So,
yeah, I think hopefully maybe with people not baking so much for the holidays, maybe that'll get us some eggs back into the omelet world. You know, we talked about earlier, you and I, how the price of everything is going up, but also the wages for Colorado workers are going up. And you wrote about a couple of weeks ago, you just kind of mentioned the increase in minimum wage for the state, also in Denver. It's a really good time to be a worker in Colorado. What are you hearing on that front as far as wages going up again this year, Tamara?
Yeah, you know, because I have this opportunity to write about economy every week with the What's Working column, I throw in these little surveys for readers, and they're kind of fun to hear from actual people about different topics on the economy. And a recent question I had was, are you getting a raise in 2023? And the results were like 45% of the respondents, and there were about 135 people who responded, said they were getting a raise. The rest, you know, the majority were not, or at least were hoping, you know, for various reasons, shared that they weren't getting a raise, but some of them, it's because they got a big raise last year. I mean, I heard from folks who mentioned their organization gave everybody a raise of about, you know, anywhere from 12 to 15%, I think. And that was to keep morale high and retain workers, because that is still an issue. You know, getting enough employees and keeping them is still an issue for a lot of employers.
We're still at that 2-to-1 ratio, right? There's 2 job openings for every 1 capable worker in the state of Colorado. So that's got to really be affecting how people are paying people to stay.
Yeah, I mean, from past reports, we know that some employers have, during the labor shortage last year and the year before, they were finally able to hire enough people. So some have maybe stopped hiring, but if their business has gone down, they have kept their employees because they knew how hard it was to hire them.
And last thing, Tamara, and we kind of touched on this, a recent report you wrote about last week as well, from the LEED School at University of Colorado, interviewed employers. What did they find there? Feels like there's a little bit of pumping on the brakes, but what does that report kind of entail?
Yeah, so the quarterly LEADS Business Confidence Index, which is by the University of Colorado Boulder, the LEADS Business School over there, they interview, you know, more than 100 business leaders each quarter to see, you know, how's business? What do you think is coming up for the next quarter. And the results were at the lowest they've been in, the fourth lowest they've been in the past 20 years. So, you know, a lot of business leaders are really conservative and don't want to overestimate how business is going to be. But that was pretty low. There is, you know, when the economists behind the report looked at it, they think, well, you know, a lot of the business leaders do think we'll hit some sort of recession this year in 2023. But sometimes this is, you know, they may be overly pessimistic about the economy because they need to be certain, because that's how business runs. You need certainty to make those estimates. And so we'll see how it goes. But, you know, there may be things that the business folks haven't shared that we don't know about. But the other thing is, you know, job growth is still strong. I mean, not strong, but it's still there. I mean, we're not losing jobs here in Colorado's economy. And all these employers who may be pessimistic about the future, there's still a lot of companies that plan to hire in 2023.
Yeah, no, I know you've written about that. Colorado still remains a very attractive place for businesses to come and start up. So, well, thanks, Tamara, for all of that today and the insight. And thanks to everyone for listening. If you want to read more business news around Colorado, sign up for Tamara's weekly What's Working newsletter at coloradosun.com/business. Everybody have a great day. Thanks so much.
Read more on this story at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. Colorado drivers can be a sneaky bunch, and this year's list of rejected personalized license plates has some colorful requests, but about 140 are too risque, vulgar, or rude for the state officials to let out on the roads. The list came out this week, and the rejected requests ranged from just on the edge of being too naughty to some with racist undertones or others related to conspiracy theorists. The requests are entered into the DMV's computer system, which spits out automatic rejections when offensive terms are flagged. Colorado drivers can appeal a rejection with the Department of Revenue's Hearings Division. 4 people have died already this winter in avalanches around Colorado, including 2 snowmobilers from northern Colorado who were caught in a slide Saturday near Winter Park. According to the Colorado Avalanche Information Center's initial report, the men triggered the large slide with their snowmobiles. Another group located one of the men who was wearing an avalanche beacon, but he could not be resuscitated. The other man was not wearing a beacon, and searchers located his body Sunday morning. So far this season, 9 people have been reported caught in avalanches, and 4 have died since December 26th. Julie McCluskey is the new Speaker of the Colorado House, and she said Monday that addressing Colorado's water problems is the centerpiece of the state's conservation efforts. The lawmakers' session opened Monday, and the Democrat from Dillion said in her speech to open the term that the state's water faces unprecedented threats that no one has seen or experienced. She didn't provide specific details on how the legislature will address water issues, but she said lawmakers would try to modernize Colorado's water management system and look for new federal funding. For more information on all of these stories, visit our website, coloradosun.com, and don't forget to tune in again tomorrow. The Colorado Sun is nonpartisan and completely independent. We're always dedicated to telling the in-depth stories we need today more than ever. And the Sun is supported by readers and listeners like you. Right now, you can head to coloradosun.com and become a member, starting at $5 per month. And if you bump it up to $20 per month, you'll get access to our politics newsletter, The Unaffiliated, as well as our outdoors newsletter, The Outsider, and our health and environment newsletter, The Temperature. All 3 exclusive newsletters delivered to your inbox every week.